fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Friday, the 29th day of April, year of our Lord, 2022. Welcome to the John Moore Show. Yes, we do begin with the Pledge of Allegiance, I'm proud to say. Everybody stand, face the flag. Gentlemen, remove your hats. Right hand over the heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The prepper tip of the day would be to consider developing a second stream of income. I know for many of you that would be an important thing. Perhaps turn a hobby into a business. Perhaps take those dust collectors. Americans have closets, basements, attics, garages full of dust collectors that they can be turned into cash. Maybe open an account on eBay or Facebook Marketplace might be another possibility to sell the dust collectors and turn those dust collectors into cash. We're hoping that Tom Berryhill will call in. If and when he does, we will have him on. We'll be talking about emergency survival communications, one of our favorite topics here on the John Moore Radio Show. Cliff High did a video presentation yesterday, and I just watched it this morning. He mentions a book that I just ordered a copy myself. The title of it is The Naked Bible by Mauro Biglino. Mauro Biglino. According to Cliff High, when Jewish rabbis need help with translations, when the Vatican needs help with translations, they call Mr. Biglino. He's highly respected in the most important circles of Judaism, Christianity, Catholicism, and so forth. And it does look like Tom Berryhill is with us. Tom began a quest more than half a century ago to understand, comprehend, eventually become quite expert in anything and everything to do with emergency survival communications, ham radio, and electronics in general. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, John.
Well, sir, I typically get about one email a week from one of our listeners who has tested and got their ham radio license. I got one this morning, And you and I are having an impact worldwide because we have a worldwide audience, encouraging people to look into ham radio and go ahead and move forward to get their ham radio license. So the impact we have is worldwide, Tom. How about that?
That's really good, John. I'm glad to hear that. And a lot of younger people are finding much interest in ham radio these days. A lot of it's because of the digital modes. I was just tuning on ham radio I have nearby here earlier, and I heard almost no signals, but plenty of digital signals. No regular communications, just a couple of stations. But the digital stations were all on the air. There was quite a few of them with some good signals, too. So there's a lot of that going on, and it's more like texting or emailing, and the younger crowd, they seem to favor that mode of communication. So it's quite popular, and there's something on there for everybody. Talk with a microphone, use a telegraph key for Morse code, or talk with a computer. You can do almost anything you want.
And there's television also.
Yes, sir, that's correct. In fact, a very good long-time ham friend of mine, very well known worldwide, is big time in TV. He's in St. Louis, and he has quite a few stories to tell about them putting these television stations on the air. In fact, John, two or three years ago, I was in Florida. I went to the Orlando Ham Fest before they shut everything
2020.
Down.
That was 2020.
Yeah, that's right. It was in February, and this gentleman gave a talk, same guy I'm referring to, gave a talk there about ham television, and I attended his seminar. It was very good. He explained the basics of it, how to get your station set up. They have actually repeaters where you transmit into with your weak signal from a distant area, and then they have a repeater system, very tall tower location that redistributes that signal so everybody can hear and see the video signal really well. And he mentioned during the seminar that it's not like the old days where it took quite a bit of experimentation with the older analog systems. They're actually taking digital units. I think they were made in Taiwan. I don't remember. They're not from China, but I think these units are made for digital television distribution systems for like cable TV and things like that. But they will cover the ham band and they modify them a little bit. It's very simple to do. And then they put an amplifier with this and it creates your television station. And the components to do this are relatively inexpensive. I don't think you'd spend more than a few hundred dollars to get started. Of course, you can add to that and make it bigger and better, but they've got quite a bit of interest in that. So I'm thinking about doing some of that myself.
All right. I was just looking here. It looks like there was a suspension recently of issuing new ham licenses. It looks like it may be back online. There's several conflicting statements here, but the system was down for a while. It looks like it may be back online. One of the things that tyrannical governments really fear worldwide is ham radio, isn't it, sir?
Well, that's really true. You know, they always promoted it because during wartime, especially in World War II, Korean War, Vietnam, but especially World War II, it gave the Department of Defense or the War Department, whatever they called it at that time, it gave them a ready supply of trained radio operators. The only thing they really had to do was get them up to speed with the procedures that they would use for military. But the ham operators were already training themselves, and it was always and technical also, John, the technical side of it, so that they had a ready crew for a signal corps of people who just need very little training to get up to speed on the technical requirements for the military radio equipment. And then the ham operators gained a lot from that, too, because after World War II, there was a glut of military radio equipment surplus on the market. And a lot of these ham operators started purchasing surplus equipment. I've looked at some of the older radio ads in the magazines from the 50s and even into the 60s, and you could buy some of this surplus equipment that was very, very well built and quite usable right on a ham radio frequency. So you could reconfigure it to operate in the ham bands. And this equipment was first class and very well built and would last a long time. And to this day, there's still a lot of ham operators that pursue that. They're interested in the military type, and they're using equipment that was made for World War II, and it's still being used today. So that equipment was on the market, and the ham operators could buy this stuff for pennies on the dollar.
Well, if you know what you're looking at, you can see, at least I know, still see here and there in various auctions and sales and places I go, World War II file cabinets, World War II desks, still in daily use, just like they were in 1944. And some of these radios, they could have been flying in a B-17 over Germany, couldn't they?
That's very true. As a matter of fact, a very good friend of mine, local guy, passed away just a couple of years ago, but he flew B-17 bombers over Germany, and he had some very interesting stories to tell. We'd sit at the coffee shop for hours, and he'd tell us, some of us younger guys, some of the things that they did and some of the things they shouldn't have done and things like that. But he flew B-17s.
Like fly underneath the legs of the Eiffel Tower, that kind of thing?
Did I tell you about that?
I think you mentioned it once, yeah.
He did, and John, his name was Henry. And he he's in his 20s, but he was the captain of that plane. And he said after the war was over, he said they took a military transmitter, ART-13, and they were in France at the time after the war. He was stationed there for a while, and they took a Collins ART-13 transmitter, which was AM and Morse code, CW, and they set that thing up. The officers told him he could go ahead and set up a radio station for the American GIs that were still there. And so Henry set up this transmitter. I guess it was about 100 watts or so on AM, and then they set up their own studio, and they were acting as disc jockeys, and they just had a lot of fun setting this thing up. They never had to get a license or anything because they just did it on the military base. But it went quite a ways, and even a lot of the locals were listening to it. So then, because he set that up, he got in pretty good with a lot of the other higher-ups, and they allowed these guys to take those planes and take them out basically for joyrides. And Henry said they'd go out, and they would fly across the countryside, and then one day they got some of these other pilots were flying through the legs of the Eiffel Tower. It happened several times, and then he wanted to do it. And he was actually on the runway, and had the engines running. They were ready to take off, and he said that a guy ran out there waving his arms and whatever flags and signals they use for him to stop and shut it down. And they got up in the plane and said, "You don't want to go." They're tired of it, and they stretched a big cable between the legs of the Eiffel Tower underneath to keep planes from going through there. So Henry would have been the first guy to try it, and they would have piled that plane up, and who knows what would have happened to the Eiffel Tower in the process. So he said his life was spared that day. And that's just one of his stories. He had plenty of others, too. Some I don't tell you privately, but what they did with those planes. He told me, he says, "Tom, you can't take a bunch of young guys and turn them loose with a big aircraft like that and tell them to go out and do some joyriding," because he said, "We did some."
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, a different but similar incident. It's been, I think I was still living in St. Louis. It's been 20, 25 years ago. A young man climbed the outside of the Gateway Arch all the way to the top and parachuted off the top. And the media made a big deal about the parachuting. That wasn't the big deal. The big deal was climbing.
I remember that. Did that guy live? I don't.
Oh, yeah, he was fine. He has a square chute. He's more than high enough for that to open it and deploy properly. But the media made a big deal about the parachute jump, which was no big deal in my opinion. I've made enough parachute jumps to know that. No, the big deal was climbing the outside of the Gateway Arch. He had these suction cups that, you know, I guess four. I guess he had, I don't know how many he had, but he had several suction cups to allow him to climb the outside of the Gateway Arch, which is stainless steel, by the way. and that was the dangerous part. Jumping, once he got to the top, there was really no danger of any consequence because he had his parachute and was ready to go. So yes, young men will do foolish things. That's what young men are known for. I did my share of foolish things, and I managed to live through them.
Yeah, but, me too.
Yeah. That's,
John, I stood on top of the arch. Hey, is there a statute of limitations? I'll tell the story real quick if you think.
The statute has run. You know, there's no. You know,
okay, because whatever. This was 1970, in the summer of 1976. And I worked for a company. We did professional sound systems and communications. And I mainly worked on equipment in hospitals when I was with that company. But they were rewiring the arch. They were redoing the sound system in the Gateway Arch downtown St. Louis, right on the riverfront. And a lot of the work had to be done at night when they weren't having tours and things like that. So, and for whatever reason, I don't remember why, but we had to. We couldn't, the wiring that they were changing out and replacing, they couldn't pull it, use gravity. They had to come from the base. There's like a museum underneath the arch.
Right.
And we had to pull the cables from underneath using a winch up at the top and pull those cables up. And there's every 100 feet or so there was an outlet box that you could see the progress of it. And we had to go climb that stairway in there. We didn't use the elevator because we had to be right in there where the conduits are and all that. But when we were up at the top, they always had a Park Service guy there. See, the main thing I would worry about is getting that guy in trouble, but he was a little bit older anyway at the time. I don't even know if the guy would still be alive, but he saw all these speakers. Now, my boss would let me have anything I wanted for cost. If I paid the cost, I could get any kind of amplifiers. I mean, you know, some really nice, but it was commercial type equipment. None of this home stereo stuff. Big systems that we put in. Some of these, like at Busch Stadium, we did rewired the old one they tore down, not the new one. We rewired it in March of 72, and that was about 20 kilowatts of audio power. It was a huge system, and I worked on that too. But in 76, though, and during that summer, we did that arch, and it was at night. It was late at night, maybe 10:30, 11, and the Park Service guy, he's looking at these speakers, and he says, "Hey, will those work in a Buick?" I said, "Those speakers will work in any kind of car." He says, "Could I get a couple of those?" I said, I can get them, but I can't just, everything has to be accounted for, and we have the exact amount that we need to do this. I said, but I can get you some. So the next night, I was up there again. I was back at our shop. I got a couple of extra speakers. I bought them with my own money. I think they were only $8 a piece or something like that. They were pretty nice, but of course, things were a little cheaper in the 70s. And I took those with me, and I carried them up there to the top in a box and I set them over in the side, and I said, "There's your speakers." He says, "Well, how much do I owe you?" I said, "You don't owe me a penny," but I said, "I want to stand out on top of the roof." Because a few days before that, a guy went out. They'd have to go up, I think, on a monthly basis and check that light that was on top. So a guy would put this safety harness on, and he'd go up there, and he'd get out and check that light and sign off that it's working. Well, I told the guy, "The speakers are yours. No charge, but I got to go out there on the roof." And he let me do it. And then he was right there at the hatchway, and he was yelling, "Get back in here. I'm going to lose my job." The guy was frantic. He was.
Did you wear the harness?
Yes, sir.
You wore the harness. Okay. We have a break.
Yes, I did.
512-248-8252. We'll be right back.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Wish I was in the land of cotton wool, and there I'm not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I
all
was
right,
born.
We're back. We are back. This hour is sponsored by MyPillow. I am so happy that MyPillow reached out to me. I'm looking forward to possibly having Mike Lindell on as a guest one day in the future, working on making that happen. In the meantime, it's a full line of products. It's not just pillows. The beautiful Giza sheets, the slippers. I got on a pair of those slippers right now. Towels, wonderful, luxurious towels. Up to a 66% discount on the MyPillow products at thelibertyman.com. And we have Tom Berhill with us. We're talking about emergency survival communications and topics totally unrelated to emergency survival communications. But Tom, getting back to the main topic, our favorite website to help people get started on ham radio is the ARRL, that's Alpha Romeo Romeo Lima .org website. And it's one-stop shopping to get the information for training, for books that will educate you in equipment and upcoming events. And it's not too soon to start mentioning Field Day, which takes place in June, is it?
That's right, John. And towards, I believe it's the end of June. And I might try to go with maybe one of the local groups this year just to see what's going on. I haven't done that for quite a while. But it's a fun outing, and it's usually a turns into a barbecue and a social event, and a lot of radio equipment set up, and plenty of operators to take turns so nobody gets tired, and they just go all day and all night, like a 24-hour period. And it's a contest to see how many stations you can contact using portable equipment and power systems that are portable, such as batteries with solar panels, generators. But you can also plug into commercial utility power, but your score will not be as great. You get there's a multiplying factor for every contact you get, depending on what type of power system you're using. So most everybody tries to use generators, and the best and greatest multiplier will be when you operate on batteries. So that's what it is. It's a contest, and it's if you tune in, you have a shortwave radio, and you tune in on the ham radio bands on that weekend, you will hear massive amounts of interference and communications left and right. You'll really learn about what ham radio is all about. It's quite an event, and it's well attended. And then they put out the word, and sometimes local media shows up. There'll be television stations there filming some of this, reporters from newspapers, and so on. And it's just a fun time. If anybody's interested in ham radio, getting involved with it, learning what it's all about, that's a great event to go to just as an observer. And take the kids along. Let the younger people see what's going on with all this. It might spark an interest. And I know I went years ago, and there was a young man there with his dad. And they put that kid to work. They let him do the logbook entries for a while. So they showed him what to do, and he wrote the contact info down in the logbook as the radio operator was operating. So this kid got very interested, and he became a ham operator too because of that event. So it does have an effect on people. So if you think you're interested, that's a good thing to go to, and it's coming up. It'll be here soon enough. Right, John, one last comment. I got to make one comment about the Arch. Many ham operators over the years have said that they'd really like to set up a transmitter, portable station there, and use the Arch as an antenna. Now, it is grounded, of course. It have to be grounded because of lightning problems, things like that. But you can still transmit to a grounded structure. You have to. It's called a shunt feed, and it's done a lot in the broadcast industry where the towers are grounded, but the you go up the side of the metal structure a certain amount, and that's your feed point. And you can attach to it, and even though it's grounded, you're at the proper impedance match there for your transmitter, and then you can use that structure as an antenna. It's done all the time. I don't know if anybody's ever done it, but there has always been discussion when you get a bunch of these guys together about using the Arch as an antenna. That would have been a vertical loop, and the 630-foot tall height would be doubled, because now you'd go up one side and down the other, and then with a vertical radiation pattern, that would be an incredible antenna for communications, oriented east and west. I don't know if it's ever been done, and I've never really looked into it to see if it's been done. But I remember way back in the day, a lot of us would be talking about doing that, and I don't know if the Park Service would allow anybody to attach to the side of it. They'd have to go up.
Good luck dealing with the National Park Service and the federal government. That's all I can say.
Well, one guy, you know, he talked about, you know, stainless steel is somewhat magnetic, and there's a structure behind it of course, we didn't have the neodymium magnets like we do today, but I would think if somebody could take a fishing rod and sling a neodymium magnet up the side of the Arch, maybe 50 or 60 feet, and then with a fishing line on it, and then pull up the wire feed line, they might be able to get the job done.
We'll see. We got a break. We'll be right back.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. because you can handle the truth. American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammy, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
All right, and we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. I'm doing more private consultations than ever. I got one today at noon, another one at 3 p.m. A private consultation, what is that all about? It's about getting the information, receiving the things that you need to get the laser focus that you must have to make major decisions. That's what private consultations are all about. And, of course, I have energy cleaners in stock ready for immediate shipment. The biggest order I ever received at one time, day before yesterday, 10 energy cleaners going to Australia. Met Tom last night, picked up 8 more. I'll be getting another 10 or more next week. The orders keep coming in here. If you're tired of being tired, the arthritis pain getting you down, can't do the things you like to do, go dancing with your honey, walk in the park, ride a bicycle, whatever it might be, play golf, go hunting or fishing, get yourself an energy cleaner and get back to doing the things that you love to do. Check out the details at my website. Everything's right there. The mattress pads that go with it, they vary in price depending on what you need. Twin, full, queen, king, California king, the handy travel size. And now for all you current energy cleaner owners, the beautiful micro plush throws that you can use on your bed, on your recliner, on your car seat. Only $75 shipping included on the Micro Plus throws. Details at my website. You can place your order right there for your energy cleaner, your Micro Plus throw. everything that you need to go with it, your mattress pad and so forth. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Visiting with Tom Berryhill, we're talking about emergency survival communications, ham radio, related topics. The call number is 512-248-8252. Well, Tom, during Hurricane Katrina, the federal government of the United States could not find the Superdome for a week. They couldn't. A structure so large it could be seen from space without any, with a naked eye, from space, from the International Space Station. That's how big the Superdome is. You can see it from space with unassisted vision. The federal government of the United States could not find the Superdome for a week. Now, that tells me that during a major crisis, we're probably going to be on our own. What do you think, Tom?
I would think so, John, but they probably have reams of paperwork filed away as to the efforts they put forth to try to find that Superdome. And then they probably worked for 10 years on updating the procedures for searching for the Superdome. And today they probably still couldn't find a Superdome.
They probably had focus groups of engineers and scientists and everything to determine why they couldn't find a Superdome. All they needed was one Green Beret, and a Green Beret could have found a Superdome. Or maybe even a 15-year-old Boy Scout could have found a Superdome on their behalf.
Yeah, or the nearest cab driver or anybody like that.
Well, the point being, ladies and gentlemen, all silliness aside, unless you were in a Superdome without proper sanitation and food and water for a week, that was not silly for those people. In all seriousness, you're going to be on your own. If Hurricane Katrina proved nothing else, it's that the federal government is completely incompetent when it comes to dealing with a national emergency, aren't they?
It's really true, John. It is.
It's reality. That's my reality.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a federal contract for some flood work, flood cleanup, and the incompetence I encountered was beyond belief.
It's beyond belief until you realize it's the status quo. That's the way it is. Incompetence.
Sickening.
I know. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's a point to this discussion. The point being, you, the people you care about, if there's a major crisis, it could be a hurricane like Katrina, it could be tornado effects, it could be earthquakes, it could be flooding, it could be an ice storm. There's no place on this planet safe from natural disasters. That place doesn't exist, does it, Tom?
Yeah, that's right.
Every place has their own unique vulnerabilities. We got people coming from the East Coast and West Coast, the Midwest, and very common, I hear, their fear of tornadoes, their fear of snakes, their fear of ticks. I hear this all the time. If you're from this area, we don't pay much attention to tornadoes. If there's one nearby and we can hear that distinctive train roar, We take shelter. Snakes, well, we deal with snakes. If it's a poisonous snake, I cut their head off or shoot them. If they're a black snake, I wish them a good morning and let them go on their way, because black snakes are very helpful. Ticks, well, ticks are just something that we have here. And if you go out into the woods, or a field that hasn't been cut, you're probably going to get ticks. Not a big deal. You get home, you strip off your clothes, you look for the ticks and remove them. Not a big deal, is it, Tom?
No, it's not, John. And I'll tell you, a handy little tool is it looks like a little spoon with a V-notch cut in it. And it's for pulling ticks off of dogs. I keep one of those handy. And they really work good. It's so simple. You could almost make your own, but it worked great. So that's a good thing for pulling ticks loose. I don't, you know, with some of the diseases that they carry, I think it's critical to
if you're out where there's ticks, obviously you don't let them attach and start sucking blood. You obviously don't do that. But all that aside for just a moment, the time to get ready for what's inevitable. It's inevitable that no matter where you are, it could be Key West, Florida, it could be Anchorage, Alaska, the state of Maine, Southern California, no matter where you are, north, south, east, west, your area will be affected by some kind of natural event that will shut down utilities and cause problems. That's inevitable, isn't it, Tom?
Yeah, that's very true.
So the time to get prepared for that is now. Just like at the top of the third hour, we'll be talking about the rocket heater. The time to get ready for the winter of 2022-2023 is the spring of 2022, not in the fall of 2022. Right, Tom?
That's absolutely correct. And if they're going to put a rocket heater in, start getting the equipment and plan for that right now.
Well, I just got mine moved up here to my house earlier this week. It's ready to be installed, which only takes maybe an hour, most of that being recovering, getting the tools and putting the tools away. But simple installation with 6-inch stovepipe available at any hardware store in the United States. So I'm good to go. When you get your ham radio license, I know when I got mine, it was mailed to me back in the day when I still mailed them, back in 1994. It gave me a feeling of relief knowing that I had accomplished this, that I now could communicate with the other ham radio people around the area, and all the people in my group, all the men and women in my group, all have their ham radio license, by the way. We saw that as a foundational part of being ready, and made it and mandated that every man and woman get their ham radio license. And I'm glad we did that. We did that back in the around 1999, and it's been a good thing for everybody to have that and keep it up, Tom. And it shows the rest of the group that you're serious about what you're doing. If somebody tells me they're a prepper and they don't have their ham radio license, I have serious doubts about their dedication to being a prepper, Tom, don't you?
Yeah, that's true, because one of the most important things is the ability to communicate. If you're in a bad situation, you need to communicate, and that's where that radio equipment will come in handy, especially when you first get started on the VHF and UHF bands. You'll cover the local area quite well, and that's where you need to focus and get that equipment, mobile units, fixed stations or base stations, as they call them nowadays. And you can set up repeaters if need be, but I think the most important thing is a high-power mobile unit that can be used at home or in the vehicle, and maybe a few HTs. I'm not a big fan of portable handheld radios because of their very limited range. But when combined with mobile units, things like that, you can easily set up your communications for a specific geographical area, get it all planned out, do some trials, try it out before it gets down to the point where you really need it in an emergency. Try it out first, get everything tuned up and calibrated, and you're all set to go.
That's right. Well, another bonus of the and at the ARRL.org website, you can look up, there's 2,780 ham radio clubs. And you can look them up there and find the one or ones, or it could be more than one, closest to you. Start attending those meetings. You'll find people always asking me, how can I find people like mine? Well, 9 out of 10 ham radio operators are also preppers. That's been my experience, Tom. I know you've experienced that as well. And so that's a bonus, is to find people of like mind. Another bonus, high-quality used ham radio equipment is routinely bought and sold back and forth between these ham radio operators at very good prices, aren't there?
Yeah, that's true. And then, of course, they all talk about the latest ham fest they're planning to go to, and sometimes you might want to tag along. Sometimes these hams go in groups, and they go to these ham fests searching out equipment and just having a good time. So I'm going to try to do some of that this summer myself. And it's a good way to find the equipment you're seeking. You can buy new stuff, but sometimes another member of that club has upgraded and has a radio that's just maybe a year or two old, and they want to sell it, and you can get a really good price on that. Some I've seen them go for half price that way, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. It looks brand new. Get it for half price. That happens quite a bit. So when you go to the ham club and you have the cash with you, figure out how much you want to spend and take it with you, and then you're ready to buy. If somebody says they're selling something, you can confront them right then and there and say, I've got the cash and I'd like to buy it. And sometimes they have it with them, or maybe they live a few miles away. You can go home with them and pick up the equipment. You're all set to go. Then another bonus, John, is, of course, a lot of these club members have been at it for a while, and they've made all the mistakes, and they're more than happy to help you get started and not make the same mistakes they made when setting up their first station. So that's a very helpful thing to have. I didn't have that when I got started, and I had to make every mistake you could imagine, some of them two and three times. I hate to admit, but it finally sunk in, and I learned, you know. But you don't want to go real fast. You know, plan things out and then get the job done. And some of these members at the Ham Club will be more than happy to help you.
Well, and they are. They're looking forward to helping. It's not a burden. It's something they look forward to doing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Sometimes there'll be a group. There'll be two or three of them that want to come over. They want to get to your location and help you get this thing set up and get on the air and test it out. And then they will instruct you on the on-the-air procedures. Because your first contact, that's a shaky experience. I mean, it's kind of scary.
I've seen the same thing.
First time you get on the air.
Yeah, men and women are just getting their pilot's license, and their hesitation to talk to the control tower. It's a hard thing to your first time to get on that air when they're at the control of an aircraft to be talking to the control tower. But it all takes some practice, and they get used to it. Tom, we got a caller on hold. We're at Glenn in Kansas. Good morning, Glenn.
Hey, good morning. I was going to quick talk about the subject of what kind of the first radio. And you, John, you know, a while back you had talked about taking a mobile radio, like, maybe a dual band would be a good one to choose from, about 50 watts. And if they were built, originally designed to be in an automobile, you could use that as a base station radio pretty nicely and pick out a inexpensive power supply, either put it on batteries or you could have it with a switching power supply of about, normally it's about 30 watts will drive it pretty good. And a dual band antenna in a format like a simple ground plane, and you can be set up and ready to go. And don't worry about if they have different digital modes, whether it's the DNR or whatever, you know, or what Yaesu uses. They all have the standard things in there to do your bottom line communication. And don't worry about all these other features. They've got so many features in there that you probably will not use even half of them unless you're a really, you know, become obsessed with it. But it could be a lot of fun if you want to get involved in that. But for the most part, myself being an extra class, I just stick to using the fundamental because it's always there. And as far as handhelds, they're a little bit power poor, but I have been able to take an Olenko radio and handheld, and I set it up on a Yagi antenna and was able to hit from, I'm out by Fort Riley, But I got up on a hill and I was able to make a contact with another operator in Topeka, which I'm just about over the horizon. But if you use the right antenna, you can get quite a distance. Sometimes there's interesting phenomena like ducting, and you can hit, like if you were in California, you could hit Hawaii on a handheld, which is pretty amazing. But those things are advanced. But for just starting out, just a basic ground plane antenna and a radio setup at the house is going to work.
That's right, Glenn. The good comments. Good comments. Thank you, sir. We appreciate the call.
73.
Right. 73 is to you, sir. We have a break. We'll be right back.
This is your Liberty Minute for day 776 of 15 days to flatten the curve. The Wuhan flu federal emergency declaration was renewed on February 18th by President Biden. But yesterday, Dr. Anthony Fauci said, "We are certainly right now in this country out of the pandemic phase." So the 15 days to flatten the curve started 776 days ago. The CDC eviction moratorium lasted over a year before it was declared unconstitutional. The public transit mask mandate lasted over 2 years before a judge struck it down. The fight over mandating the emergency use of experimental vaccines continues in courts even after thousands have lost their jobs. Is there any chance government spending in the name of coronavirus will end before 2030? Not if the progressives and fearmongers get their way. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, see this Pacem Parabellum.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: "Great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick." To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
So let's fix bayonets. We'll have the advantage of moving down the hill. They gotta be tired, the Revs. They gotta be close to the end if we are. So fix bayonets. Ellis, you take the left wing, I'll take the right. I want a right wheel forward of the whole regiment.
What, you mean charge?
Yes, but here's what we do. We're going to charge swinging down the hill. Just like we pulled back to this left side of the regiment, now we're going to swing it down. We swing like a door. We're gonna sweep them down the hill just as they come up. Understand? Does everybody understand?
Yes, sir!
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Well, time this hour has flown by. Typically they do. And just quick heads up, we have energy cleaners being manufactured for the time being. All the parts are in stock and ready for you to be busy, busy. As my grandson would say, get to work, Grandpa, get to work. Really, it's the first time in, what, about 9 months that we've been caught up in energy cleaner, sir?
Yes, John, it's been incredibly difficult getting the electronic components, and it's still difficult, still fighting that battle. We talked about it some last night, and I don't see it getting any better, but it's kind of leveled off a bit, but it's some of these deliveries have been, for certain chips and things, are out to 2024. They're that far out on delivery. You can't get the stuff. So I have to shop. I'm doing my shopping in Taiwan and having the stuff shipped in. But I don't get very many at a time, but enough to keep up with our needs. So that's a good thing. And, John, I want to make a comment about the last caller, Glenn, in Kansas, because of where he was and talking about setting up stations and that. It just reminds me that anybody interested, and there many times is interest in digital modes on 2 meters and 450 megahertz ham systems. A lot of the hams go with these DMR, digital mobile radio, and they want to go with the digital modes. Well, there's a company in Lenexa, Kansas, that is now a very good friend of mine is one of their master distributors. And he told me about it early on and shared some of the information, but it wasn't for release yet. The equipment was not available yet, and they were still in the testing stages. They had to get FCC certification and so on. But it's actually a DMR radio that can be a single-frequency repeater. Now, they had things like that in the past where you'd talk to the repeater, and it would store your message and then send it back out, like a time delay. You'd record maybe up to a minute, and then let go of the microphone button, and then that would play it back so others at a distant location could hear it. So record and send forward. But this is different. This thing is in nearly real time, maybe a 10-millisecond delay, if that. But it's a DMR system, and it takes the time. So you talk in one time slot, and then this thing repeats it in the next time slot, and it does that very quickly. So it's basically a single-frequency repeater. It's like a base station, but no duplexers, no dual frequencies. You can do everything on one channel and greatly extend the range. As a matter of fact, a lot of the stations that may come on your system, they wouldn't even know it's a repeater. They would just notice all of a sudden they have tremendous range, and it might confuse them. You'd have to let them know it is a repeater. So these can be set up, and I think this thing's only around $500, and that's quite a bargain. But it's Maxon, M-A-X-O-N, Maxon USA. They're in Lenexa, Kansas, and this is for the commercial market, but it will work in the ham bands just fine. It covers the ham frequencies with no modifications.
Tom, thank you.
I'm setting
one
up myself. Okay, John.
Right. We have a top of the hour break. We'll be back with Dr. Pete. Stay tuned.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Co-Certified app can make a huge difference for your future.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.